A very good afternoon to you if you've just joined us. This is Impact 103 Afternoon Chats with Mamo, all the way up until 4 p.m. on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon. Now, earlier on, I'd mentioned that I have a very, very special guest who will be joining us today in studio. She is, let me give you actually a very brief introduction of who this lady is, all right? So, not only is she a legal practitioner of the High Court, aka an advocate, right? She's also a holder of an LLM degree and, among other things, a recipient of the Mail and Guardian Top 200 Young South Africans 2022 Award. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the studio Advocate Senako Lindazwe. A very warm welcome to you.
It is quite a very warm welcome. Thank you so much. It's actually so soothing, and you know, it's quite funny when you hear people talk about you that it reignites you, it motivates you, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can what more can I do as a person?
Right, I can imagine you thinking like yeah, that's me, right? Yes, that's you. Oh, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Listen, I'm very, very excited to have you here. Now, you are a fashionista, right? You have a great sense of style. You love working with people. Okay. Now, out of curiosity, out of all the options that you have, what made you choose law?
It's quite funny. I think, you know, as an advocate, now I understand it better. They always ask you, when was your call to the bar, which means that it's more of a calling.
Sure.
If you're not called for it, you won't be able to, you know, withstand the challenges that come with it. So when I was 6 years old, I already knew that I want to be an advocate, as crazy as
what?
It is.
At six?
I promise you. And
wow.
I think it has a lot to do with how, you know, children are raised and what they're exposed to. Because at that young age, I lived in Colesberg, which is an marginalized, you know, society. And my uncle was practicing law. He was an attorney.
Sure.
And I just saw the work that he was doing with, you know, legal aid at the time. And I was acquainted, of course, with the injustices in the area where I lived. And growing up, I vowed that I'm going to be an advocate. I'm going to use law to change my society.
Sure.
And I actually, you know, was centered on it when I went to varsity. You know, a lot of people have, you know, first choice, second choice, second, third choice. I only had LLB on my application form. I promise you. Had LLB on my application form. If I didn't go through, I don't know what my plan B would have been.
Sure.
But I think for me, being an advocate is a calling. And I think most importantly, you touched on my love for people. I think that what the platform has done for me, actually, it has allowed me to work with people because it's more people-centered work that I do. And all the things that I've done using this platform bring me back to people. So
yes.
In a way, I get to, you know, still be exposed to people and use the platform that I have, you know, towards assisting people. So in a nutshell, I think everything comes together somehow.
It does. And now I had a look at your profile and I saw that you also specialize in different areas of law. So that's administrative, constitutional, contract, property. Listen, you specialize in quite a bit. Now, from those areas of law that you specialize in, right? And we'll get back to, you know, your love for people and all of that. But I'm so curious, which of these areas of specialty would you say is your favorite, like your absolute favorite, and why?
I think, you know, constitutional law is my absolute favorite because it's aligned with, you know, who I am and the reason why I, you know, followed my dream or my calling to be an advocate in the first place. I mean, you know, the Constitution of South Africa is the most incredible document. And for me, it has always been fascinating how, you know, people from, for example, where I come from, when we're not even acquainted with what the Constitution is. Sure. They don't know their rights, you know. They don't know, you know, how they can use the law to, you know, better their lives. It's such a powerful instrument, but if you don't know about it and you're not equipped with it, you don't even know the power that you have as a person.
Wow.
So for me, constitutional law allows me to literally touch on what exactly this document should have been for. And I think it's also fascinating to see how the law can be developed and how, you know, the different provisions of the Constitution can be interpreted for the benefit of people and the society. It's really, really fascinating, you know, how you can literally look at one provision and one person interprets it one way and the other person interprets it a different way.
Absolutely.
So I think that's my niche.
That is your niche.
It's my niche. That's my niche. That's what I'm most comfortable with. Of course, the other areas I've practiced as well in, but this one is something that just comes second nature to me.
Oh, absolutely. Alrighty, so we're going to take a bit of a break. So do stay tuned right after this. We are going to continue chatting to the amazing advocate, Senako Lindazo. So make sure that you stick around. Don't you go anywhere. Listen, I absolutely agree with Color Vault. I don't want to be anywhere else but in the shadow of the Lord's wings. Alrighty, so we are in this wonderful conversation with Miss Advocate. Why am I saying Miss Advocate? Advocate Senako Lindazo. And earlier on, if you missed it, she let us know that constitutional law is literally, ooh, that area of law that she absolutely loves. It's like second nature to her. Now, you also worked at the Constitutional Court of South Africa as a senior researcher to the Deputy Chief Justice at the time, Justice Raymond Zondo. So what was it like actually working with him, just by the way?
You know, one of the most fun fact for me is that I actually was first appointed to Judge Jafta. And being a law researcher at the Constitutional Court, normally you only clerk for 1 year. And for me, I was one of the most fortunate people to actually stay longer and after Judge Jafta actually be elevated to work with the Deputy Chief Justice. And he literally just came into office.
Sure. This is amazing.
It was actually amazing. It's incredible. It's a once in a lifetime type thing. And it was very challenging, I won't lie. Yeah. It was lots of work. I was laughing, actually. I was having dinner with him and other law clerks just recently because he just got retired, and we were laughing about how we used to work literally every day.
Every
single day. On a Saturday, you would find me at the court.
Wow.
And you would sometimes be, you know, knocking off at 10 in the evening or 11 in the evening. And behind the scenes, it took a lot of sacrifice. It took a lot of hard work. It took a lot of discipline. You know, constantly reminding yourself that, you know, this is your dream.
Yes.
This is what you prayed for.
Sure.
You know, just keep your head high and it's going to pay off.
Yes. And I mean, look at you now.
Yeah, looking back, it has. It was difficult at the time, but look at me now.
So now, coupled with the fact that you worked at the Constitutional Court, you also have an LLM in Constitutional Law, of course. We know it's your favorite. And Philosophy of Law. So, and you also touched on it earlier on. We get the sense that it's more than just about the glitz and glam, or at least what people perceive to be the glitz and glam and status mm-hmm. of being an advocate, right?
Devs. It's not as glamorous, you know, behind the scenes. I always like to expose people to what my daily life looks like. I mean, you know, you have all these facets of your life that you want to balance, but sometimes work requires you to just, you know, put some things at the back seat. I mean, like right now, before this interview, I was busy drafting, you know, an application that is due next week. It's a Saturday. I'm trying to balance, but at the same time, I'm still putting in the work. And, you know, those are the things that people are not exposed to because they see you living the life and they think, oh, it's just so amazing. But yeah. Behind the scenes, it's really, really like it takes a lot of work. Sometimes, you know, you'd get a stint where you're literally not sleeping for like an entire week. You're not sleeping. You're in urgent court. You're drafting and then you're appearing. And then you need to show up for your family. You need to show up, you know, for your husband. You need to show up for your kids and all the other areas of your life. So it's literally a lot of juggling. It takes a lot of juggling. And for me, I've also learned to also take, you know, time off, as difficult as it is, listen to my body, to listen to the cues. You know, you don't want to get sick and be out of the game completely because you're not taking care of yourself. But it literally takes a lot of work and a lot of support.
That is
true. From your family. I doubt that I'd be able to do any of this if I didn't have, you know, supportive people in my life.
Sure, absolutely.
Make it, you know, possible, all possible, yeah.
You know, I blame suits for glamorizing law. Everyone thinks that, oh, you know, I just want to be Jessica Pearson there in the corner office. Oh, and, you know, 2 minutes, here's a paper that you drafted. And it's like a thick paper. And you're thinking, no. They're not showing what really goes on behind the scenes.
They're not showing what really goes on. I mean, Mamo, if you know, you are a lawyer yourself.
Yes.
Just drafting can take you days.
Yes.
You've got to do your research. You've got to be acquainted with the latest case law. Mm. You need to apply it. Before you even draft, you need to understand the brief. So it's really not, you know, just you knowing what's there or sucking it out of your thumb. It's a lot of hard work.
It
before
is.
Before you even go to court, you still need to peruse that brief again, peruse your papers again, know what you're going to argue before the judge, you know, be prepared for the questions that may be asked, you know, from you and be able to answer those questions. So it's really a lot of preparation. And you have to also remember that you're dealing with the different cases on a daily basis and all of them equally need your time and your attention. So it's really, really a lot of work.
It is. No, it definitely is a lot of work. And I love when you actually touched on this part of my life that I don't think people know about, or a lot of people know about me actually being an admitted attorney. But I want us to take a short break so that we can actually touch on that in the next few minutes. So we are in the we're having an interview with Advocate Sinako Lindazo. We're chatting a little bit more about herself as a legal practitioner, as well as, well, let me actually not give it away right now. You better stay tuned to find out what it is coming up next. Alrighty, so as mentioned, we are having a wonderful interview with one of my favorite people here on this earth, Advocate Sinako Lindazwe. And so it's so funny because you actually touched on something that people might not necessarily be aware of about me, the fact that I also come from the legal space. And fun fact, for those of you who might not know, this beautiful lady that I'm chatting to here, actually, she moved my application in court when I was applying to become an attorney. So for people who maybe might not necessarily know, once you finish your articles, you're done with your board exams, you actually need to apply to be admitted as an attorney or advocate, but now, as we say, a legal practitioner. And so I had to have an advocate standing there to represent me. If any questions were to come up from the judge, then she will answer on my behalf, in essence representing me. So this is why she's extra special to me and to my family.
Thank you.
No, 100%. Like, to this day, I don't think I'll ever stop telling you this. To this day, my family's just like, wow, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lady. They were absolutely taken away by you, every single one of them. And funny enough, on my day of admission, Judge Mlambo encouraged us, which is actually ties into what you mentioned earlier on about not forgetting about the people. But he touched on the fact that as we practice law, we need to remember what it's all about. And that's what the Constitution is there for, to lend a helping hand to those who need it the most. And which is what also drives you, given what you were exposed to. So
Tell us a little bit more about the NPO that you're running. And I actually appreciate everything that it stands for, but I actually want you to share with us, what is your NPO about and how does it tie into your drive for actually getting into the legal space?
Thank you so much, Mom. You're really so kind. You actually make me so emotional right now. And, you know, I think one of the fundamental things that maybe someone can take away from this interview or my life, my name is Sinako, and in Isixhosa, the name means we can.
We can.
We can trump, we can overcome, we can become great. So every time you say Sinako, you're affirming that it is possible, right?
Wow.
And like I said, you know, being exposed to the law from a young age, how I grew up has a lot to do with that, how I've turned out. And for me, I think I've taken my name literally to, you know, do what I'm called to do in the world, to affirm to others that it is possible. So when I rose to the Concord, I remember that I got a lot of, you know, attention from the public. I was featured in magazines, newspapers, all that stuff, because I got my master's when I was just merely 23. I was, you know, young, black, first where I come from, first, you know, from my university to be appointed at the Concord at the time to, you know, Judge Jafta and to ever clerk for Deputy Chief Justice. So it was a huge deal. But when I got the platform, I thought to myself, what do I do with this platform that would benefit others, right? Because it's all great to, you know, get all the attention from people. But for me, my life is a testament of God's glory.
Amen.
And everything that I do is for Him to be glorified, right? And I love giving back. I love, you know, I'm loud about God in my life.
Yeah.
And so that's where SWCM comes from. I wanted people who are like me or who come from similar backgrounds where the odds are stacked against you. You know, in Colesberg, for example, even right now, I'm still the only person with a master's degree.
Whoa.
And that is insane. 30 years into the democracy, a lot of people still don't have opportunities. It's very, it's like a poor, you know, society. You can Google it, you'd see. A lot of people lose hope. And I wanted to be that person who shows everyone else that it is possible. I believe so much in lifting as you rise, and I think it's the only way that we can make a meaningful impact in the world. If one person believes in the other and they lift as they rise, definitely we can, you know, make a meaningful impact in the world. And that's what inspired SWCM.
Sure.
And what SWCM is about, it's an empowerment platform, particularly for people from, you know, marginalized backgrounds, to affirm them. I give mentorship to young girls and boys who want to enter the legal profession. We run a mentorship program for an entire year where they are taught, you know, the fundamentals of the legal profession. You know, they are trained in CV writing, you know, preparation for interviews, financial wellness. You know, they get to shadow me in court, be exposed to what exactly it looks like being an advocate. We also expose them to all the other available opportunities in the legal fraternity so that they know that they're not limited in their dreams and their goals.
Absolutely.
And I think I play that fundamental part in their lives of just giving them that guiding hand, because, you know, entering the profession myself and being the first from where I come from, I realize how difficult it is to be in that space when you don't have someone who's going to carry your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just lending that hand to those that, you know, see themselves one day being where I am. And I try to make it as easier for them as it can be, because, you know, I believe also that if you've had a tough time in life, it's yours to make sure that the people that follow after you don't have it as tough as you.
Absolutely.
Did. That's how you see a meaningful difference in the world. That's how you see things are changing, you know?
Sure.
I also, you know, give tours of the Constitutional Court to students from like Alexandra, through the Zanani Foundation. That as well is to acquaint them with the Constitution, to acquaint them with their rights, to acquaint them to the court as well, as means of demystifying the profession, making it more accessible, making it more palatable in society, you know?
Sure.
And we also have, you know, a colloquium every year where we try to bridge the divide through meaningful dialogue and creating a platform where people who want to enter the profession can actually, you know, interact with people who are already in the profession. I know that it means a lot for, you know, a person from Soweto who dreams of entering the profession to, you know, interact with a Tembeka Ngukaitobi that they see on TV on a daily basis, you know. I'm exposed to these people on a daily basis, but for me, it means a lot that I can make other people, you know, be able to get that benefit as well. And I understand that them interacting with these people, it makes it seem, you know, possible for them.
100%,
and it makes them believe in their dreams even more. And sometimes that's all it, you know, we need in life. One person who believes in you, a person who believes in your dreams, and you'd be surprised how far people can go with just knowing that that one person believes in them. You know?
Yeah, no, 100%
agree.
Keep
them going, and it's incredible. So for me, that's one of the work that, you know, I do that brings me so much joy.
Sure.
Giving back and making sure, you know, that I'm living out my purpose.
Yay.
It's so fulfilling.
That's absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. And I really do appreciate this. So we're going to take one last break and then we're going to wrap up. And then I'm going to ask you a question. And this will sort of be like the final thing, right? Just to sort of wrap up, but also for you to participate in this new feature that we also have in the second hour of the show. So please don't go anywhere, ladies and gents. I hope you are enjoying this interview and that you're listening to what she is saying. So make sure to do stick around. We are in a beautiful conversation with Advocate Senago Lindazwe.
When I run away, you tell me that's okay, you'll find.
And as mentioned, we are in a beautiful conversation with my favorite human being, and that is Advocate Senago Lindazwe. Alrighty, so you mentioned earlier on that you love the Lord and you are out there about your love for Jesus. Now, I want to find out from you. Well, firstly, I will say that in the second hour of the show, we've recently just introduced this new feature where we absolutely, absolutely love sharing and listening to different testimonies that maybe happened during the week. And then we also ask the listeners to sort of share with us what is the testimony, but then also request a song that sort of speaks to that testimony. So you're a lady who loves the Lord. Despite your success, you love the Lord. And as mentioned, we have this feature that I'd really like for you to participate in. And so tell us, share with us, do you have a testimony, that something that happened this week, maybe something that God came through for you for? And if so, please do share it with us. And also, please do request a song that speaks to that testimony.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You're putting me in the spot. You're putting me in the spot. I actually, it's quite crazy because, you know, I think maybe I'm a Jesus freak, if you can say it, or you can put it like that.
We love it.
I always try to find, you know, when you're that type of person that finds something great or something meaningful about any situation in your life. I'm that kind of person. So it's so crazy to pick just one thing that happened because it's been such an incredible week. I just recently, you know, won a matter that I didn't think I would win, but I won it regardless, which was amazing.
Sure, amazing.
It's always amazing. The way that I do actually is so fulfilling because sometimes you doubt yourself, but then God always shows you that there's just so much that you can do as a person. On Thursday, for example, we were with Dr. Ngwepe for the SWCM mentorship session where something similar happened where one of my mentees, you know, was dreaming smaller, but then they got a bigger win because of the drive that we have at SWCM. Sure. I think that's also a testimony. I think the success of the SWCM colloquium as well is the greatest testimony.
Yes.
Because so many people were touched and impacted by that. You actually did such an amazing, you know, voiceover for us. You know, and it came together so beautifully. So people who are listening can check that out on, you know, our platforms on SWCM's Instagram page, our LinkedIn, and our Twitter page, and they will, you know, see exactly why it's such a huge thing to brag about, you know, and praise God about. It's just amazing when you see a lot of people coming together, believing in your dream, believing in the vision.
Amen.
I was telling my husband actually on Friday, I was saying to him, you know, people maybe don't understand the impact of the work that we do, but on a Saturday morning, hundreds of people took a bus, took a taxi, took a bus, whatever, went to the Constitution Hill and say, we believe in this vision. We're coming together to see toward being realized. How amazing is that?
That's very, really amazing, honestly. Sure. So, what song would you then say, would you like to request, which would then speak to this testimony or all of this above, which I would say would make one big testimony then?
I think the one big testimony would be Best Fitted by Tasha Cobbs, I'm Getting Ready.
Ooh.
I'm Getting Ready, and I really can't wait to see, you know, the great things that God is about to do in my life.
Beautiful.
I believe that this is just the start. I really feel excited about the future.
Yes.
I feel excited, you know, for the elevation to see what we can do next, you know. I really, really see bigger things. I see the platform growing. I see myself growing. And I'm just getting ready.
We are
just getting started.
Just getting started. Alrighty.
Just
so
getting started.
We are going to get that song lined up for you and play it for you just now. But thank you so much for joining us on this show. It's been absolutely amazing chatting to you, learning a little bit more about you, what you do, your passion for law. Thank you so, so much. It's been a pleasure.
It's such a great pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. I've truly had, you know, a good time with you. You're inspiring and you are really amazing. So keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Alrighty, that was Advocate Sinako Lindazwe, who was with us. I keep on wanting to say in stage. I don't know what's going on. But she was literally absolutely amazing. It's been a pleasure chatting with her. And as mentioned, she's special to me. So her song request for her testimony and everything that God has done for her, here we go.